ministry of Nelson Ihiagu. Be stirred as you listen.
I have something that the Lord laid on my heart to share with us. Guys, are you here? Come on, am I in TEC? Are you here?
Yes, sir.
I have something that the Lord laid on my heart to share before we get into the sermon for today. Are you excited?
Yes, sir.
Financial miracles, isn't it?
Amen.
Glory to God. So I want you to treat, well, today is not a supernatural Sunday, but I want you to lift your expectations and approach today's service like it's a miracle service. Amen. It is a miracle service. Amen.
Amen.
So, we're going to spend some time praying towards the end of the meeting or towards the end of the service. And I want you to prepare your heart. So, as the word of God is coming, I want you to receive of the word of God. Come on, are you with me? I want you to be like a sponge. I want you to be ready to soak. I want you to be ready to soak. I'm not an orator, I'm a man of God. Amen. I'm not an orator, I'm God's oracle. So I'm speaking as inspired by the Spirit of God, in line with the Word of God. So I just want us to be ready to receive. Amen. One thing I know is when the Word of God is being taught, there is grace. When the Word of God is being taught, there is grace, or the word of God comes with grace to do what is being taught. Are you here? So Peter said, grace and peace be multiplied to you according to the knowledge. So when a man can grow in grace by different things, but one way a man can grow in grace is by understanding the word of God being taught. So when the word of God is being taught in a particular area, the person can grow in grace in that particular area. So in understanding the workings of God in a particular aspect, someone can grow or can see more in the workings of God. I.e., because the person has been taught more, faith can be increased in that particular aspect. Come on, are you with me? Guys, are you with me? So if the gospel is being taught, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you read the context of that scripture, the context of that is when it says faith comes by hearing. The faith that was being spoken of there was salvific faith. Faith for salvation. Please don't be distracted. Look at me. It means it's faith for salvation. Because the context is, how shall they hear without a preacher? Right? How shall they hear if, you know, if they don't speak? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach if they've not been sent? Hallelujah. Daniel has pressed spoil. How shall they hear without those things? So the context of that is the gospel. So when it says faith comes by hearing, it means that when the gospel is presented to the man can now put his faith in the one that is being spoken about in the message, and then he can be saved. When we teach about the healing power of God, a man can now know that his name is Rapha. He is the one that healeth thee. Come on, are you with me? So a man can now know what the word of God is saying because the person has been taught properly. Faith is not ignorant. Come on, are you with me? Faith is not ignorant. Faith is intelligently applying yourself in the direction of what the word of God has said. So when you look at I don't know why I'm talking about faith, but I'm heading somewhere. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, please. The woman with the issue of blood pressed and touched the garment of Jesus. And as she touched the garment of Jesus, she said, I know this guy heals the sick. So because I know that this guy heals the sick, if I will just but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be whole. So she had seen that the sick had been healed because of this guy's, forgive me for using this guy, I don't mean that irreverently, I'm just because of his doings, she had heard. So Based on what she had heard, she had said, you know what? I'm going to put my faith, and if I but touch, my healing will come. Amen. Amen. So that was what 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 9. Did I say 2? 9:2. Oh, my bad. 2 Corinthians 9:2. Let's start from verse 1. Say this after me. Lift your hand. Say, Holy Ghost, I'm ready for all you have for me. Come on, say, Holy Ghost, I'm ready for all you have for me. Correct me by your word. Instruct me by your word. Empower me by your word. Correct me by your word. Instruct me by your word. Empower me by your word. In the name of Jesus. Say, my mind focus, my body behave, my spirit receive. Come on, say, my mind focus, my body behave, my spirit receive. Come on, say it like it's true. Say, my mind focus, my body behave, my spirit receive. Hallelujah. All right. Let me start from verse 1. It said, now concerning the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. Verse 2. For I know your willingness. Paul was talking of the willingness of the Macedonian church to give. He said, I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Next verse. Yet I have sent out lest our boasting of you should be in vain. Hallelujah. My bad. Give me verse 8. Sorry, it's chapter 8. Chapter 8. I'm going to come back to verse 9. Yes, moreover, brethren, can you hear me? Okay. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Next verse. It said that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. It means that the church at Macedonia So it means that the Macedonian church was a poor church, but yet they gave. Right? They gave. Next verse. Moreover, for I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing. Let me see verse 4 if I'll go there. Imploring us with much urgency that we should receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Let me tell you why I'm reading this verse. Go back to verse 3, please. I want us to read this like a mass choir. 1, 2. I want you to read this like a mass choir. 1, 2, go. Come on, I want you to read it again. 1, 2, go. For the last time, 1, 2, go. So, Paul is boasting or he's bragging. Paul is boasting or bragging about a church. And he's saying concerning that church that these guys, according to their ability and even beyond their ability, they were willing to do service to God. This is something that the Lord laid on my heart, and I want to talk about it. You see, I want verse 3 to be the testimony of TC. And I'm not even talking about giving a loan. Right, I'm talking of in service to God. You know, before I came up, a verse of scripture, the Lord dropped a verse of scripture in my heart. Elijah spoke. He said, if God is God, serve him. If Baal is God, serve him. Consistently, from time to time, this thought comes to my heart, which is, I don't want to lie to myself. Come on, guys, are you with me? I don't want to lie to myself. If this thing is worth it, if this thing has anything to do with the eternal life, if it is true, which it is, that he died, was buried, rose again, never to die again, then let me live for the one who died for me and rose again. Talking about the Macedonian church, Paul was using the Macedonian church to encourage a church at Corinth. Now, like I said, I think Corinth was a port city. So Corinth had water. So they engaged, they were a major city for commerce. They were a major city for importing and exporting. They were a major city. So they were by far wealthier than the church at Macedonia. Come on, are you with me? But Paul was using the church at Macedonia to encourage the church at Corinth to do better. I was hearing of someone who went to do missions in one of these places in Asia. It's a very poor state or a country. That's why I'm saying state in the political science sense. A very poor country. These guys, people came on moped to the meeting, taking 16 hours. 16. People had to paddle. You can't, as a pastor, now finish ministering to those people and say, I'm going into the office. You will lay hands on them. Heard the story of someone who, you know, they brought the sick to that meeting from neighboring countries on wheelbarrow. They had to walk for 2 days. Heard the story of underground churches in China. You know, these guys, I played the video for us one time in church, you know, when we first started. And for our people that are still watching online, please pay attention. Watch the videos of these guys who, they had to memorize verses of scripture because they don't have access to the full Bible like we have. So they had to memorize verses of scripture. Just memorize those things. And then, you know, someone from America was saying that he went there and was just talking to them, and they were saying, oh my God, we wish, that's the church in China, you know, they are saying, we wish we could be like you guys, that you guys have freedom to worship, you have freedom to serve the Lord, you have freedom, you can call upon the name of the Lord, you can pray, you can gather now and worship, and it's not the slightest idea in your mind that a bomb will go off. I mean, Shola is here, but that's not what we're talking about. Do you get? It's not the slightest idea in your mind that a bomb will go off. You are sure that you will finish worshiping and you will go home to a bed and a tap that water is running from. Come on, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So, but this other place where he went to do the missions, right, that I'm talking about, beside them was a very radical Islamic group. The next compound. And I'm like, yo, wisdom is profitable to direct. Anita. This is what the Lord laid on my heart to share. I'm still going through my sermon, but please pay attention. So, it's very... Please, let's not move around. It's very distracting for me, okay? It's very... like I said, the church in China, they said, we pray to be like you guys. And the man of God told them, I don't pray that for you. Many of them have to travel for a while to gather in secret. And he said, I don't pray that for you. And while he was telling them that I don't pray that for you, he said, if the service is more than 1 hour, people will leave. He said, if the service doesn't have some things, you know, if, for example, why don't you come to that church? They don't really have coffee. If the service doesn't have some things, then it's not necessarily for us. I was talking to the guy, I was hearing him share. For the missions to that nation, you can't go to that place and collect offering. They spent about 16,000 pounds to get to the 26 hours flight. Because he went, somebody was raising the money, he was talking to them about the conference and, you know, how much it cost them to put it together. It cost, in their currency, 600 million something, something, something. And the Lord told him, pay for it. The Lord has to. And then how much was that? $4,000, roughly. And the more I think about things like that, the more I just say, comfort has spoiled us. Comfort has spoiled us. We are too comfortable. We are too comfortable. Consistently, I've talked about things like this where we just gather. You know, the service is 1 hour, 10 minutes. For 15 minutes, we'll sing. Or for 40 minutes, we'll sing. We'll now do a quick word for 10 minutes, then do a quick connect session. And then we can go home. And we think we'll raise strong believers. We are joking. Please, are you with me? The older I get, the more I realize that it's one life. You don't get a redo. You don't get a remake. You don't do any other thing else. Once you close your eyes on this side, you will open your eyes in eternity. Right? And I just think about it and I'm like, you know, this morning when I woke up, just talking to the Lord, before I stood up and came back to the bed, I was like, we must do, Lord. These are conversations I have with God. There must be something else. Why are we coming to church? Why are we doing all these things? Please, are you with me? Why are we doing all these things? To what end is all this? To what end is all this? It is a... I think about it. How did we get to the point where if you teach people... No, this doesn't happen in TEC. We're giving church, amen? How did it happen that if you teach people properly about biblical generosity, they will not give? Because if God is not Bet X or sporty bet, if God is not two odds, if you're asking me how I know that is Shola, but if it's not that I will give something to the Lord and he will give me something back, then why am I giving? Who taught us that? Who taught us that? I've seen very ridiculous things. Why don't you belong to a church? The church is too far. How far is the church? 30 minutes. Who did this to us? For my people who are immigrants, you travel 2 hours every day to walk to and fro from Egbeda to the island. I said for my people who are, if you are not an immigrant, if you don't know where Egbeda is, don't worry. You travel that, but then maybe you are living in a surrounding city and then the train is just 45 minutes. You say it's a bit far. There are churches around. I've said this many times when we started. You don't choose a church that is close to you. You choose a church that is closest to the Bible. Because what do you think this is? Do you think this is a restaurant? That wherever we are, I just rated 2 stars on Yelp and I move to the next one. What do you think this is? I'm so sorry. We're not seeker sensitive here. Amen. Well, we are to an extent, because to the extent that the Bible commands us to be. Apart from that, we move. Please, are you with me? Like I said, 2 Corinthians 9. That verse 3. Let's see verse 3 again. He said, for I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and what? Beyond their ability, they were freely willing. Beyond their ability. Even as a church, you know, someone said something I will never forget. He said, God has designed every local assembly to be self-sufficient. If everybody plays their part, the local assembly will not suffer. It's little things. Like, I want to ask this question. What exactly are you contributing to God's move in your day? Apart from praying for all you can get, canning all you can get, and sitting on the can, what else? What else? What else? What else? Have you wept for souls in prayer? I mean that figuratively, you don't literally have to cry. What else occupies your heart apart from what the Lord can do for me? Come on, are you here? It's one thing to, you know, the flesh is trying to gain ascendancy over us and we are putting the flesh under. It's another thing to pray in tongues out loud and claim to love the Lord and be gallivanting in wickedness. It's strange. It's strange that I claim to love the Lord, but I have no fruit that of the Spirit I claim to be within me. Are you here? And we will never settle for less. We know there's more that's found in you. And we will never settle for less. We know there's more that's, hey, we will never, never, we'll never settle for less. We know, say we will never, never, never. Olanamaya la de doko, saila mane malabadi gele bodo boya. We know, hey, we will never, never, never. We. Hallelujah! 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 Listen, there must be more that happens in church than, is everything okay? Okay. There must be more that happens in church than what God can do for us. Please, are you with me? There must be more. There must be more. You can't, maybe I should bring, let me bring it home a little bit. You can't just be comfortable coming on Sunday, you just sit down a few hours and disappear. Contribute something. Please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Contribute something. If you think I'm talking to you, then maybe I am. Contribute something. For example, like I said, beyond their ability. And like I said, I'm bringing it home. Beyond their ability. It means that it was something that was not easy, but they did it. How many Saturday setup have you come for? Beyond their ability. It's not convenient. Do you think it's convenient for everybody all the time? I said this when we were doing our purpose series. Do you know the scary thing about life? Or one of those scary things is, you could be doing very well in your plan, and then you will never know what would have come out of your life. But then you will stand before Jesus and you will see your plan and see his plan and think your plan was great. Then you will see his and see what would have been. I say this all the time. There's nothing else I'd rather be doing in my life. This thing I'm doing is not a good ambition. It's not something I think is sweet. What do I do now? Let me wear blue suit and preach. That's not how it works. I assure you, if we want to grow TC in a carnal way, there are things to do. It's not hard. There are special programs with top-notch guests. 6 months preaching. I'll preach 20 minutes. Just pam, pam, pam. Favor, we say, hi, you are a preacher. Happy birthday, by the way. Celebrate her, don't worry. I will just drop the word. Favor will be excited. That's all. There are things to do. But because I realize that there is more to my life than on this earth, what is, I want to ask that question again, what is your life contributing to the cause of the King on the earth? Are you here?
Yes, sir.
They gave of the ability and even beyond. And even beyond. Comfort cannot be the hallmark of your life. And beyond. Comfort in terms of you pray when you like, you read your Bible when you like, you do what you like, you talk how you like, no guardrails of consecration around your life. You go to church when you feel like. Even the time. Are you there? Are you there?
Yes, sir.
It starts by 12. So the choir will sing. Worst case scenario, around 1. Maybe PL, that's when P and I will be up. So I'm just going to go around 12:40. I'm not the guest of honor. Jesus is why we are here. Third John 1:2. Favor, somebody online say happy birthday. She said thank you, Zach. Are you there? Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. I want you to read this like a mass choir. 1, 2, go. Come on, stop. Read it like you are alive. Like you are still alive. 1, 2, go. Just as your soul prospers. You see, 1st of all, John was writing this letter to Gaius. Gaius was a very wealthy guy in the early church. So first things first, God has no problem with believers being wealthy. God has no problem. What did he say? If you read 1 Timothy chapter 6 from verse 17, he says, charge those who are rich in this world. So it means that there are those, they were believers who were rich. But the problem is not them being rich, it's their mindset to money. Because he told them that they should not trust in uncertain riches. And then they be rich towards God, communicating to those who have need. So the problem is not that they are rich, it's their disposition to wealth. Remember, I started this series by telling us, the Bible does not tell you how to make money. It tells you what to do with what? He said, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. You see, a lot of people are very loud on, I pray that you prosper in all things. Say all things. I pray that you prosper. May you prosper. Say amen.
Amen.
And it's very important. But you see that part, just as your soul prospers. Very valid. Very valid. I assure you, it costs God nothing to prosper a man. And I believe God provides. I believe God prospers. It costs the Lord nothing. But like I usually say, greater than what God wants to give you is who He wants to make you. Greater than what the Lord wants to give you is who He wants to make you. He told them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. is who God wants to make a man. You see, I think yesterday I was talking to Shola when I was changing for in a photo shoot, and I was saying, man, my life is the story that God can, and I've not even done many things, but my life is a story that God can touch a man. God can do things with a feeble vessel. I have so many stories, but maybe another day. He said, I pray that you, just as your soul prospers. So there is a prosperity of the body, and then there is a prosperity of your soul. There is something, remember we talked about true gold. So God is not averse to you having unfaithful riches, but God does not want you to have that at the expense of true riches. Come on, are you here? God does not want you to have that at the expense of true riches. There is something, you know, this person I was talking about, he was saying how, and please turn on that fan, please. He was talking about how someone, can you guys hear me well?
Yes, sir.
Okay. He was talking about how in this nation that he went to, many of these people were very poor. He said, but look at me, please. But when you look into their eyes, you will see that they are wealthy. Why? Because there's something called true riches. The Bible calls it in 1 Timothy 6. He said that they should not trust in uncertain riches. But then there is something called true riches. So God, like I said, is not averse to you having unfaithful mammon or earthly wealth. But God does not want you to have that at the expense of true riches. God does not want you to have that at the expense. I mean, look at your God. He's the God that does not just provide, he provides more than enough. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
He does not just provide, he provides how? More than enough. This is a God that does not know boundaries, bounds, restrictions. This is a God that has never known lack. This is a God that made the heavens and the earth and put natural resources in it. For who? For himself. He has no need. This is the one who owns the cattle upon a thousand hills. He said, if I were hungry, will I ask you? And then he showed it in Jesus. When Jesus told them, beware, I'm running through scriptures because we need to pray. Jesus told them, beware of the leaven of the Pharisee. And then he now said, they said, is it because we did not take bread? And Jesus was rebuking them. He said, why do you think that it's because you don't have bread? He said, if there was no bread, don't we know what to do? Because this is someone who had multiplied bread twice. One time for 5,000 men, another time for 4,000 men. So at least in the 5,000 audience, there were 15,000 people. If there were two times the women and children, or a conservative estimate, there were at least 12,000 people. And then he fed all of them and there were 12 baskets full. Come on, are you here? Please pay attention. I'm opening your mind to possibilities. Then on the other end, 4,000 men, at the very least, there were at least a conservative estimate of about 6,000 people. They did it and then there were 12 baskets full. He provided for them till it was enough from scarcity. You know, people ask questions and say things like, oh, you know, Jesus was not rich. How do you know? And some people say, Jesus was not poor. How do you also know? The point is this. Jesus had a treasurer because there were people who supported his ministry. There were people who gave to his ministry. Are you here? Even Jesus had financial partners. Who am I? Praise God. There were people who gave to his ministry. I'm not even joking. It's true. It's in the Bible. I showed you guys last week. So, in case somebody says, he's so funny. I'm not funny. It's in the Bible. So, Jesus had people who gave to his ministry and all those things. And then Jesus, but then again, Jesus was not stranded. So the point is not he was rich, he was poor. The point is everything he needed per time was supplied. Do you know what it means for a man to be able to turn wastewater to wine? You are starting business without capital. So when the Bible says that they had jars And then those things were things of purification. They were water. It meant that what that literally meant, you know, when he said, take the jars of purification, you read that and say, oh, they use it to wash things. No, for feet washing, to wash the dusty feet of their visitors. That's what they use that thing to do. And then he said, you know what? Take those things, wash the feet of people. The water they used to wash the feet, he said, take that water, fetch into it, and go and serve. Said, go and serve. And then they went, and then it was the best wine. So Jesus can just go to a canal now and say, go and begin to serve. And then as you appoint it, it's turning to wine. So the point is not he was wealthy, he was broke. The point is everything that was necessary was supplied. I'm running through that very fast. Everything that, please give me that third John. But then he said, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Someone said something brilliant, and I think it makes a lot of sense. He said, if God wants us to give to the poor, then best believe God doesn't want us to be poor. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Because the God we serve is a providential God. God is my daddy. Jesus said, if you being wicked know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father? He said, if you ask a father that is balanced mentally, if you ask him for bread, for bread, will he give you stone? If you ask him for fish, will he give you a scorpion? How much more? Your earthly father that is good, and his goodness compared to the goodness of God is wickedness. How much more? How much more? So, God, this God that we serve, very providential. He reaches out to those who don't have through us. He reaches out to them through us. It means that he provides. He provides. But he says, just as your soul prospers. Listen, soul prosperity, the understanding of true wealth is very important. What this means is, I've said this again and again through the series, we will not all be millionaires. We will not all be at the same level of wealth. Are you here? We will not all be at the same level of wealth. But you see, that soul prosperity is what will ensure that the believer who is driving a Camry will not look at a believer driving a Cadillac and feel oppressed. It will also mean that the believer who is driving a Cadillac will not look at a believer who is driving maybe a Toyota Avensis and want to oppress him. Because I can't remember who said, I think it's either C.S. Lewis or someone. He said, the believer who has Jesus and everything does not have more than the believer who has Jesus alone. The believer who has less should not come to church and make it obvious. They will know that they actually have less. It is ungodly. Come on, are you here? Any sort of stratification, class division is ungodly. He said, I pray that you prosper and be in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. You see, if there is soul prosperity, provision is safe in your hands. I said this last week, that there is no such thing as Jesus money, but money in the hands of God's kids is Jesus's money. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Holy Ghost. I'm going to run fast so that we can pray. I want to show you a few things. Elama Kasaida. Isaiah 48 verse 17 to 21. Let me see from verse 17. Come on, are you here?
Yes,
guys, are you here?
Yes, sir.
Ema taboranda fire kada. If you have a prayer language, just pray in the spirit a little bit. Selo marande kebalokria. Barenda farda kade kongregie. If you don't have a prayer language, just love on the Lord. Say something to him. Elamenda bruka sala gada barda garande klekredina vurga da zenwa eba barende klekredina kuta kande klarozi areiga deiga 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 ezozozozo kukatabila de brande lebe kebe brege de vezina emproda gabele keteno gagombra de keda da 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 bala gabra da vaze nekerwa ginga gonge gengo gongroduga bale babele bebele babe brege de vezuna karia Shaida Shaida Shabolande Reboko Bosonde Ibrabele Gada Bobrakate Lambe Braga Vada Giza Zoria. Come and pray in the spirit a little bit. Sabela Kura Bale Gebe Tende Iogodo Boko Sagada Gada Ielege de Broko Tokula Baba 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 Sande Eyale Babo Kobrege de Bezi Ezuzande Le Kurada Baika Telo Koko Nonde Suria. Just pray, just pray, just pray, just pray, just pray. Follow me, just pray.
I'm not wasting time calling upon the Lord. I'm not wasting time calling upon the Lord. I'm not wasting time calling upon the Lord. I'm not wasting time, oh, calling upon the Lord. I'm not wasting time, oh, calling upon the Lord. I'm not wasting time calling upon the Lord.
Hallelujah. We're going to pray. Let's read Isaiah 48:17. Look at what it says. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. I sound really good. Thank you, Tofumi. It says, thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord. I am the Lord your God. Say, he teaches me to profit. I am the Lord. It means that he leads me in the way that is good for me. Madalamo komana mahanda kaya. He leads me in the... Listen, the way that is good for you is always the way that is more in line with soul prosperity. Are you with me? For some people, let me tell you something. Some people, God is keeping resources from them. A level of resources from them. Do you know why? This is what the Bible says. It says God knew that if the children of Israel passed the way of the Philistines, they would see war and turn back. So he made them pass through the longer way. It means that God knows if he gives you some kind of resources, he will lose you. So he's keeping it for your good. Soul prosperity. But not soul prosperity. Material prosperity, but not at the expense of soul prosperity. So the way to profit is not always physical benefit, but it's soul prosperity. But hey, make no mistake, if God sees a man that he will trust with resources, are you here?
Yes, sir.
If God sees a man that he will trust with resources, soul prosperity and bodily prosperity, both of them, the Lord will trust the man with it. Are you with me? So I'm saying the way to profit is not always bodily prosperity, but is always in the especially from the Lord, is always in direction of soul prosperity. So you see, as a believer, you don't just pack your bags and move somewhere. You don't just make decisions, you pray. It's not old fashioned to say, I'm going to pray about this. Let me get back to you. It's not old fashioned to say, give me 2-3 days. The God you serve is not dumb now.
Yes.
It's not old fashioned to take some time and pray about things. Take some time and fast. 3 days, 7 days, 21 days. It's not old fashioned. Take times of consecration and hear God. I am the Lord your God. Ah, this is the Redeemer speaking. He's speaking himself. Are you with me? I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Give me verse 21. Calling upon the Lord. He said, and they did not thirst when he led them through the desert. He caused the waters to flow from the rock for them. He also split the rock and waters gushed out. Say, this is my God.
This is my God.
He led them in the way of profit and caused these to happen to them. Listen, I'm saying that there is no kind of lack that stands before God and God is scratching his head to find out how he's going to go through it. He said he's the owner of the cattle upon a thousand hills. Someone put it this way. He said for every problem he has at least 1,000 solutions for it. Oh, manako babarana hasanu. I want to run through this very quickly so we can pray. There are four major ways financial miracles happen. Four major ways financial miracles happen. Number one, leading. Leading. Number two, industry. Are you there? Number one, leading. Number two, industry. Number three, call it right, supernaturally orchestrated giving. Put it that way. I said number one is what? Number two is what? Number three is what? And number four is favor. Come on, are you here? I'm going to preach this in a few minutes because I need to rush. Exodus 12, 33 to 36. I tell you, by the time we're ready to pray, I want you to lose your heart and say, Jesus.
I'm not wasting time calling upon the Lord. I'm not wasting time calling upon the Lord. I'm not wasting time calling upon the Lord.
Mahaila.
I'm not wasting time calling upon the Lord. I'm not wasting time, oh, calling upon the Lord. I'm not wasting time calling upon the Lord.
Are you there? Come on, are you here? We're going to verse 36. He said, and the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we shall all be dead. So the people took the dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. We're going to 36. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of the Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of what? Silver. Articles of, and articles of what? Next verse. And the Lord had given the people what?
Favor.
The Lord had given the people what?
Favor.
In the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Listen, this is a mixture of both leading and favor. It does not make sense that you know that we are leaving your city the next day, we ask you for things and you give us. That we ask you for things and you give. I want to tell you, favor is a real concept. It's a real concept. Something can work in your life that men will see you and say, you, I like you. It's a thing. The Lord told Moses, he said, if you don't believe me, it's fine, okay? But the Lord told Moses, he said, tell them to ask. And then Moses, by instruction, told them, he said, yo, ask them for things. And then they collected. They collected things. And then they had went. He says, they plundered the Egyptians. Let me give you practical stories of leading. I remember I heard the story of someone who, he was going for a job interview. In that job interview, you know, everybody was dressing. He was wearing a suit normally for an interview. But then, as he was wearing a suit and going for the interview, they told him, he felt this much consistently. Dressed casually. He felt it the first time, felt it the second time. And by the time he was about to leave, he felt it again. He was like, you know what? Let me just change. And then he went. It was a role for an engineer. You know, one a good role. And then the guy that was doing the interview came out and said, he was the only one that was dressed casually. Everyone was wearing a suit, looking like me. Right? And he looked at all of them and he said, all of you are looking like this. He said, it's a role where you consistently be on the field. Why are you all dressed like this? You are not ready for the job. He's the only one ready. The job is yours. Say favor. Say leading. If you don't believe me, I'm not talking to you. Okay? It's fine. He said, so they grant, and the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. He gave them favor. I believe in favor. I receive favor. Kingsley said it's favor. He gave them favor. Most of them are interconnected, so I will read them together. Genesis 15 from verse 13 to 14. Genesis 15 from verse 13 to 14. Hallelujah. And he said to Abraham, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. Next verse. He said, and also the nation whom they will serve, I will judge. Afterward, they will come out with what? Great possession. So God had already told Abraham, this is what is going to happen, but when they come out, they will come out with a lot. So what we read in Exodus was a fulfillment of this. Are you with me? It was a fulfillment of this. I'm running through Exodus 11 from verse 1 to 2. Let's run fast. Exodus 11 from verse 1 to 2. Exodus. The next book. I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and Egypt, and afterward he will let you go. Okay, I'm not arranging it. Afterward he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will surely drive you out of here altogether. Next verse. Speak now in the hearing of the people. Let every man ask from his neighbor, and every man from her neighbor, articles of silver and articles of gold. Listen, let me share a testimony with you. That's how I got a job. I remember I was working in an NGO. It's a really big NGO at some point. The Lord had told me, you will work at a particular organization. So I applied immediately, and they sent me, unfortunately, praise God. And I did not, they said, unfortunately, but we'll keep your CV on file. All those ones is a scam. So I said, no problem, we move. Then I had finished attending a camp meeting. I laid on my chair, and the Lord just inspired it in my heart again. Remember that vision you saw? I said yes. So I just picked out my phone. I sent out an email. Let me tell you something else. By God, you can know what to do. Not just that, you can know how to do it. Solomon had administrative genius, not by any business school he went to. The Bible talks of Bezalel and Aholiab, that these guys, Exodus 31, 32, that these guys had skill by God. I'm saying these things because a lot of people just pray for, oh Lord, prosper me, but they don't know how God does it. When you are more conscious of the how, you will be more intelligent in receiving. So when you are praying for favor and the Lord is telling you, this is a certification, it is God. Come on, are you here?
Yes, sir.
When the Lord is nudging you at work, you need to start smiling more to your seat, to your colleagues. You need to asking them, how was your weekend? How is your cat? How are your children? It's not social skills, it is God. Because you don't know when those voices may need to speak for you, and God has seen ahead. Come on, are you here? Are you with me? So I remember I was laying down and I just brought out my phone, because at a few months prior the Lord had told me to resign from that NGO I was working at, and then I just sent the email. I typed the email. You know when you read the email, you say, this is not my mind. The way I put out the things I did, I said, you know, I had handled a project that took, how many people, Seth? I said I had handled a project that handled 70 direct participants, 150 indirect participants. You know, it was a project that had the budget of about 1 million, and then it had returns of about 2.5 million naira in profit. I tried, I mean. So I did everything and I sent it. I said, so I sent it. In 6 minutes, the CEO replied me. In 6 minutes. And he said, he copied somebody else and said, let's meet with Nelson at so time in the office. Let's meet with Nelson and stuff. You know, I told you I was a tech project manager for 2 years, 3 months. It was this job. He said, let's meet with Nelson in so time. Now, that guy, he said, let's meet with, because I used to do a business. I had made a trad for him, so I was acquainted with the guy. So, during the interview, you know, when we had the interview, I had the first interview, I had a second interview, you know, I had a second interview, and then they were asking me, when I was talking to the COO at that time, he was just talking, I said, Alaye, hire me. Because the Lord had told me it's your job. So they said that there are 4 people for this role, and we are picking 2. I said, it's me and 1 other person. Now, I'm not going to now say, because the Lord has said it's you, I'll just go there. They say, so what are your qualifications? I'll say, Iluwada, Wasaila, Mada, Hadwa. You won't do that. When you go before Saul, you present your credentials, the lion, the bear, my father's sheep. When you go before Goliath, you say, I come before you in the name of the Lord. You know how to be ambidextrous. You know how to be intelligent. Like Daniel, you know how to profess solutions before the king. But you know how to open your window and face Jerusalem and pray. You say, thou that hearest prayer. Montakabahaya. Montele makabahaya. Are you with me? The Bible spoke about, God. There are some things I'm not going to quote. I'm not going to give a reference. I'm just going to run through them very quickly. Please follow me. The Bible spoke about Isaac. He said, and Isaac sowed in the land and reaped 100-fold. Let's open to that verse. Maybe that's the only one I'll open. Exodus 26, I think. Is it? 26. Genesis 26. Give me Genesis 26. Genesis 26. I'm not wasting time calling upon the Lord. I'm not wasting time calling upon the Lord. Look at this. Boraka Vada Bratakaya. Let me start from verse 1. And there was a famine in the land. Look at this. There was what? Guy T.C., are you here?
Yes,
he said there was what?
A famine in the land.
Beside the first famine. Hello. Okay. Beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into what? Talk to me. Go not down into what? Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee. So, anyways, you go down to Let me just finish the reading. Sojourn in the land, and I will be with you and bless you. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all the countries, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of the heaven, and I will give unto thee the seed in all thy countries. Verse 5, because that Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my commandment, my statutes. Verse 6, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of that place asked him of wife. He said, she's my sister, just like his daddy, you know. And read everything. And then you now see verse 12. He says, and Isaac did what? Sowed in the land and received in the same year a hundredfold. And the Lord had blessed him. Listen, there was famine. Everybody was running. It was easier for him to have run to Gerar. But the Lord said, don't go anywhere. Are you here? The Lord said, don't go anywhere. Sit down here. And then he planted and got a hundredfold increase. I assure you, everywhere has its problems. The UK, Canada, US, Europe, Netherlands, Afghanistan. Everywhere has its problems. But I assure you, there is your own lot only where God says you should be. Daniel, is it true? There is your own lot only where the Lord says you should be. Only where the Lord says you should be. I said leading. I said favor. That one, I'm just going to run through it. Let me tell you one thing about that supernatural one. I have a few things lined up on that end. Look at this. Solomon did not give because he wanted to provoke God. But then when Solomon gave, the Lord said, what do you want? See, I think it's a very powerful thing that a God who knows tomorrow from yesterday can be pleased by what I do today. And then the Lord came to Solomon, and Solomon said, give me wisdom to lead your people. So Solomon... What Solomon was even asking for was God's word. What Solomon was asking for was to please the Lord and his cause. It was to please the Lord and his cause. Are you guys with me? It was to please the Lord and his cause. Other things, you see, when the Bible says, he that gives to the poor lendeth to God. It means that, you see, God is not going to throw money from heaven. God is going to bless men through men. I said giving as one of those things, right? Now, why I said giving with it is, if God is going to meet the needs of others, he's not going to throw them money. He's going to do it through you. The Bible says in the book of Acts, none of them lacked because they owned all things in common. So when someone had a need, they met it because somebody else gave. Are you with me? Yes, they gave it. See, don't think that because the Lord said someone to give someone some give you something, that it was less supernatural. It's not. You asked the Lord for supply, he gave you a job, so it's not as supernatural. Who told you? I wish I had more time to quote the verses of scripture, but I'm just going to run through this. Listen to me. Solomon asked, and then he asked things back to the Lord. What that means is, usually, listen to me, when someone's heart is just a simple principle of, he that is faithful in little is faithful in much. Just like 2 Corinthians, and like we always pray, God is going to replenish you so that you will have more to even give more, right? He that gives seed to the sower gives bread to the eater. May he let him multiply your seed sown. So when God gives to us, in our thing is bread and seed. So some is for giving, some is for eating. And then when he gives you that thing, the person who is really faithful in the giving, he that sows bountifully will reap bountifully in the giving, because others are going to give thanks to God for you. God wants others to actually give thanks to him for you. He wants his work to prosper. So because you have shown faithfulness, he will give yet more so that you can even give yet more. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
This is what people abuse when they talk about a principle of sowing and reaping. So they say, give so that God will give you back. Motives are loud before God. You can't deceive him. He knows. If you are giving so God can give you back, he knows. When we give, we get blessed, but we don't give to be blessed. We give, the answer is this, we give because we love the Lord, and when we give, we get blessed. Simply put. Does that mean when we give, you know, a hundredfold increase? No. Or not always. Are you getting what I'm saying? Allow the Lord give returns as he pleases. But ultimately, even if the Lord does nothing, because he has asked us to give, we will give. If in the series we have been doing again, you've heard don't give at all, you've not heard well. You've not heard well. This is what the Bible says. The Bible speaks of the widow at Zarephath. He spoke about that. He spoke about the widow and he said, I have commanded the widow to sustain you. And then the widow came, and then the widow sustained the prophet, gave her last meal. It means that in the sustenance of the prophet was the sustenance of the widow. Are you here? In the sustenance of the prophet was he gave her last, she gave him her last meal and said, eat, and then multiplied it, and then both of them were sustained. If she had eaten the last meal and not given the prophet, she would have died with her children. But then, because God's man must be sustained, God's plan must be sustained, he said he commanded her. She could have said no. Are you with me? God still honors faithfulness. Philippians chapter 4, when Paul said, my God shall supply your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Are you aware that Paul was praying that for a people that had just given? Are you here? God is God-centered. So if something is not in line with God's cause, God is not committed to it. I think it's a mystery. God loves everyone that he died for us. But why exactly will Paul now say God loves a cheerful giver? Why? Don't you love everybody? But he loves a cheerful giver. That he says, do good to all men, because you don't know when an angel. Are you with me? And I said industry, yes? Like Daniel quoted Deuteronomy 28, he said, he will bless the works of your hand. If there is no work in your hand, there's nothing to bless. Are you with me? That God told Isaac, sow in that land and I will prosper you. So God was going to prosper him, but he had to do something. The blessing of God must rest on something. Are you with me? It must rest on something. Come on. TC, are you here?
Yes,
it must rest on something. That the Bible speaks about... oh, Jesus. The blessing must rest on something. So, work is God's idea, is God's plan. Therefore, the blessing will rest on something. Say, my hands are blessed. The works of my hands are blessed. Say, my hands are blessed. The works of my hands are blessed. He will bless something. That's the plan. I wish I could teach this well, but we're out of time. Listen, the reason for all these things is so that when the Lord is nudging you to do something pragmatic, so that he can change your finances, you will know that it is the voice of God and it's not just carnal wisdom. Are you with me? And then when the Lord prospers, you will know that more money is not equal to spend more, to Carol, in Gen Z lingo, what does it mean to flex? What do you mean you don't know? Huh? I am there. It's what? What is the lingo? Is it flex? Okay. More money. I'm sure some of you that are Gen Z. You too. Yeah. More money is not necessarily more flexing. That's exactly what we have taught in this series. But beyond all these things, listen, I'm going to end by saying 2 points. If God wants more for you and you don't want more, it's not contentment, it's a sin. It's not contentment. If God is pushing you to work harder, to do something, to open up for more, to apply for something else, and you are just content where you are, the Bible says they limited the Holy One of Israel. That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. So I'm content with where I am so far. Lord, thank you. But Lord, what else you want for me? I will press towards it. Hallelujah. Amen. It's just like, look at what God has done with TEC in 1 year. In less than a year, will be a year in June. And a couple of our people are not even around. Right? But with that, I'm not saying we have done well. I'm going to relax and rest. Do you know where God is taking us? And I'm not going to say, Lord, you have done us well. Let's just, because we have good word, let's just relax. It's a sin to not want what God wants for you. Even if it's a religious mind that once you have just two, you just rest and just say, Father, we give you praise. No, that's not how it works. And I'll end with this before we pray. Stewardship is God's plan. That all that we have comes from Him. Therefore, all that He gives to us, we will go back to serve His cause. Again, like I said, I'm also going to share this. Listen, for those of our people watching online, watching here on ground, don't let this series on money just pass. Don't let this series on money just pass. Answer questions in your heart. Like I said, in the Macedonian church, they gave and beyond their ability. I assure you, there are times when it hasn't been comfortable for me, but I still gave my tenth. Why? Because I know if I don't give it, no devourer will devour me. But I love the Lord. I will say this, I think this may be the first time I'm saying this on the mic. There was a month I was earning £500 every month. I still gave tithe. Are you with me? I still gave tithe. Not because I'm upgrading my subscription to anti-devourer. That's not why. But because I love the Lord. If those under the old covenant gave a tenth, I will give a tenth and surpass that with my offerings. I know some of you, and I know I'm your pastor, so I'm privileged to know something some of you are going through. And I see how sacrificial you still give. God must prosper you. God must prosper you, people. There are some of you. And then he say, if I give 10, what else remains? Do you think everybody who gives 10 is because they have too much? I've realized that it's not wealthy people that give, it's givers that give. Because the people who partner, some people just come and see the speaker and say, wow, what a good speaker. Their money is not there. And I can talk about it like this because I'm not a thief. Every cent in this ministry money is accounted for. It's accounted for. Again, it's as your soul prospers. God has absolutely no problem in giving more to us. And again, prosperity is going to matter side by side with what God wants to do with your life. There are some people, Joseph of Arimathea, for example, because of what God wanted to do with him, he just had to be rich. Peter, because of what God wanted to do for him, he could not be rich. So, as your soul prospers also means what is in God's plan for you. You are the one that will determine what is God's plan that will determine what wealthy means for you. Someone who pastors in, like I said, one of the smaller cities in the UK, Burnley, or one of these other cities where he doesn't really get as much as someone who may pastor in London. You can't look at that person because he doesn't have as heavy a car and doesn't get as heavy a seed and say that you are failing. You can't do that. You are not the one marking his script. As far as that's where God told him to stay, he's prospering. Again, you don't just... You have two jobs. They are sponsoring. The first thing you look at is the salary. Alaye, pray. Pray. You enter one now and suffer like a thief. Pray. It's as your soul prospers. Wealth will be determined by God's plan for my life. Again, as believers, there is no amount of money that should be able to buy your conviction. Lord, if you say onward, onward is onward. If I am never wealthy, I mean I never have three houses across the UK, 800 Airbnbs. If I'm never that wealthy, but I'm just following God's plan, I'm okay. I'm okay. Make no mistake, I have eyes on real estate. I don't know if you're under the sound of my voice. But if I never achieve those things and I'm just in God's plan, I'm okay. God's plan above my pocket. My soul prosperity against my bodily one. Rise on your feet, let's pray.
I trust you were blessed by the teaching of God's word. Now simply have what we choose is a mandate that seeks to see men saved, trained, and sent. For more ministry content, visit us at t.me/NelsonBHagwam. And for contact details, follow on Instagram at NelsonBHagwam. God bless you.